أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Praise be to Allah, we seek His help and His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides will never be led astray, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, He is one, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last servant and messenger. O ye who believe, ittaqu la haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O ye who believe, fear Allah as it should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights. Surely Allah is, and do not sever the relations of the womb that bore you. Surely Allah is ever and all watch over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him and speak always the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great achievement. Verily, the best speech is the book of Allah, the best guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the evil of all religious matters is in their own blameworthy innovations. Every innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance is in the fire. Wa'ammabad. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, which is chapter 7, verse 68, Allah says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أبلغكم رسالتي ربي وأنا لكم نصيح أمين. And by the way of the translation, this means I am delivering to you my sustainer's message and advising you truly with all good intention. This is what the Prophet Hud alayhi salam said to his people during his prophethood. In the tafsir of Al-Jalalain, what this means basically is, Hud told his people, the Prophet Hud, so his, peace be upon him, told his people, I convey to you the messages of my Lord, and I am your truthful advisor, trustworthy in the message that I am conveying unto you. So here you have the Prophet Hud telling his people that what is he? He is not only a prophet of Allah, but he is a sincere advisor to them, and he's conveying the message to them in truth. In a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Tamim al-Dari narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-dinu nasiha," meaning the religion is nasiha. The people asked, "To whom, Ya Rasulullah?" The Prophet ﷺ replied, "To Allah, to His Book, to His Messenger, and to the leaders of the Muslims and to the common folk." This was collected by Bukhari and Muslim. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. Today I'm coming to you to discuss this whole concept of nasiha and what it actually means to us as Muslims. Very often we find ourselves as individuals and even as leaders in the community in a position to give what we call advice, or sincere advice. And the term that we know it as is nasiha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, every one of you is a shepherd, and he is responsible for his flock. The Amir is a shepherd, the man, the head of his household, is a shepherd over his family, the woman of the house is a shepherdess over her husband's house and children. Therefore, every one of you is a shepherd, and every one of you is responsible for his own flock. And as a shepherd, or as a leader, it means that at some point in time, based on your interaction with others, as a leader in the community, or even as a regular person in the community, you may be in the position to seek advice, and you may also be in the position to give advice. So what is the etiquette of giving advice and what is the etiquette of seeking advice in Islam? This will be the crux of the khutbah today. What does nasiha mean? There are certain literal meanings to the word nasiha. Literal meanings include to give sincere advice, to advise or to counsel, to admonish or to exhort, to mean well, to show goodwill, to act in good faith, to be loyal and sincere to each other, to be sincere in one's niyat or one's intentions, to take good advice and to follow good advice. All of these are derivatives from the word nasiha. All of these are meanings that are implied in this word. Not just to give advice, but to receive it. Not just to give good advice, but to have good intentions when you're giving that advice. Not just to give advice, but to have goodwill towards the person to whom you are giving that advice. All of this is implied when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Adinu nasiha." What does that mean? Religion is good advice. Religion is sincere advice. So those are the literal meanings of this word. What are some of the contextual and religious meanings that we get out of this? According to Imam Al-Haddad in his text, The Book of Assistance, Imam Al-Haddad noted that part of giving good counsel or good advice is to support the Muslim in his absence the same way you would support him if he was standing right in front of you. And if you've never read Imam Al-Haddad's book on the Book of Assistance, it is a very short and quick read. It's a very good read. So what did he also say? He also said that giving good advice or being sincere is not giving your brother or your sister more verbal signs of affection than there is in your heart. Meaning that some of us, we have rancor or we have contempt for the brother or sister in our heart, but when we speak to them as though we love them to death. We engage with them as though they are safe from our hands and our tongues when they are standing in front of us, and we very well know that they aren't. Why? Because in our heart is a disease with respect to them. In our hearts, we do not have that deep love and affection for them, but we still act as though we are sincere towards them. This is not nasiha. This is not part of our religion. According to the Imam, it also means that if you know the course of action that your brother or sister is about to take is not good for his soul, what will he do? You will counsel him against it. And we'll come back to all of these things shortly. You may then ask, well, I am just an average person. How would I know if the thing that someone tells me that they are going to do is good for them or not? How would I know if it's the right thing to do or not? Before you speak, there is another hadith of the Prophet that I would like to mention. The Prophet ﷺ said that piety is good behavior, and sin is what? Sin is that thing that scratches at your chest and you hate for people to see you doing it. So if you're about to give advice and you are pausing to think of whether or not this is the best advice to give or not, and it's scratching away at you, and if you know somebody heard you giving that advice or giving that support, you would be ashamed of it, then be quiet. Because that advice that you're about to give is not good advice. And we have many instances of that that we hear about very, very often. And some of those examples will come up very soon. Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said, what does the believer see? The believer sees his sins as though it was a mountain about to crush him. And the sinner sees his sins as though it was a fly buzzing about his face. So for the believer, when he commits a sin, it's this magnanimous thing. This thing that bothers him terribly. For the person who is comfortable in sin, when he commits a sin, it's as insignificant as a fly that is buzzing around his nose. He just fans it away. And he comes back and he fans it away again. If when we are giving advice, we are as loose with our giving of advice as we are in that context of the fly just coming and then we shoot away and then it comes back and we shoot away again, then we need to recontextualize what nasiha means for us as Muslims. It is not a simple thing. Because we are held accountable for the things we do as well as the things that we say. So what does good advice look like when it's being sought or it's being given? First of all, it is honest. What do we mean by that? The person who is concerned with seeking advice is honest about the parties involved in it. You come to the imam, brothers first. You come to the imam, my wife, and when you really want to get mean about it, this bint I have at home, imam, she's so and so. This is what happened. And you paint it in such a way that you look like the good one and she looks like the bad one. That is being dishonest. Somebody who is seeking advice is very concerned about how they are presenting their case when they're seeking advice. And for the sisters, you go to the imam and you want to complain about your husband at home and you paint him in such a bad light that everything that he does is now negative and the things that he does that are positive are few and far between, and you know in your heart that that is not true. That is a problem. The person seeking advice needs to be honest about the case that they are bringing to the person they are seeking advice from. One of the things we often forget is, even when we are hurt, our brothers and sisters in Islam still have their rights that we cannot violate. So if you go to the imam and you say that so-and-so is doing so-and-so, and they really aren't, or you're adding more to it than it is, this is slander. There is no room for that in Islam. So the person who's petitioning for advice needs to be honest. What about the person giving it? You need to be honest too. Someone comes to you, they ask you for advice, they are the one who's bringing the claim, the issue, whatever it is to you. You haven't heard from anyone else. The most you can do is give that person advice on how they can change their thinking or their actions to improve their condition. You cannot give them advice on what the other person needs to do or shouldn't do, unless it's a clear violation. Why? You haven't even spoken to the other person. So how can you comment on why that other person is doing something and you haven't even done your due diligence to find out something about it? This is a problem. We are very quick to give advice about the whole situation and we have 25% of it. We are very quick to contextualize somebody's whole lifestyle and we see them for 5 minutes. After they speak for 5 minutes, you have 10 things that they should do to improve their relationship with their husband or their wife. Are you that good? Really? In 10 minutes you have a whole life plan for someone? We need to be slower with our advice and quicker with our listening and giving people their due rights. Being honest, are you the best person to give the advice? Sometimes people come to you because you're nearby, you're convenient. One of the qualities of our great imams was what? They were quick to pull themselves out of situations. I do not know. They are very reluctant to give answers and responses. Why? Because they do not want to be held accountable for what they say and what people follow. They are very, very careful as to what they say. How many times we hear something and we rush to give advice without even considering the implications of the advice that we are giving? How many times someone comes to us and tells us something negative that they have done, and we sit there, we nod, we laugh, we smile, and we give them, hey, you know what? That tacit approval that what they did is okay with us. That is not what the Prophet meant when he said, "Adinu nasiha." That is not good advice. We need to be specific. The one seeking advice should try to be very specific about the thing that they're seeking advice about, because everything is contextual. And the one given advice should be specific about the advice that they're giving. Sometimes when we speak in very general terms, it doesn't really address the issue. And if all you can do is speak in general terms, at least try to make it as relevant as possible. How about our intentions? You go to someone, and this is more like your sahaba, your friend, whatever you want to call them now, whatever is the current term that we use for the people who ride or die with us now. Whatever is that term, introduction there. So you go to that person and you say, you know what? So and so is the case. This is what she did at home. This is what he did at home. And you go through a laundry list of the violations that you perceive that your spouse or your friend or whoever has done to you. What is your intention for sharing that? If your intention, is not to get advice from somebody who can give you advice, then keep quiet. Because all you are doing is spreading ill will. What do I mean by that? Let's say Brother A and I, we are good. And Brother Muhammad and I, we fall out. And then I go to Brother Bilal and I say, Brother Bilal, you know what? You know this Muhammad guy, Muhammad did this, I was supposed to go with Muhammad, he cheated me out, did it? Now Bilal and Muhammad, they just know each other through me. Now, Bilal and I, we are tight. Muhammad and I, we were tight until Muhammad violated. Based on my perception, Muhammad violated. I go to Bilal and I tell Bilal, hey, you know what? This is what Muhammad did. What does Bilal do now? Bilal starts looking at Muhammad like he's a crazy man. Now, when Bilal and Muhammad come into the masjid together, Bilal doesn't even want to stand next to Muhammad. Why? Because he thinks Muhammad is a liar and a cheat. Who made him think that? I did. Then eventually, when I decide to man up, I go talk to Muhammad directly. Muhammad and I patch up. We start drinking coffee together. Does Bilal and Muhammad have a patch up? Bilal still thinks that Muhammad is a cheater and a thief. And who is the cause of Bilal having hate for Muhammad in his heart? Me. How do I rectify that? How many of us have taken news about brothers and sisters to other people in the community? We have created rifts between those people in the community and we see nothing about that. Or we see nothing wrong with that. That is a problem. So the reason why you are carrying your news, or the reason why you're speaking to someone about something, that intention needs to be very clear and very pure. the one who's giving advice. What is your intention for giving it? Are you trying to bring the person who's asking you closer to Allah? Or are you trying to show them that you have the right answer? Because if in your giving advice, you cannot say, hey, you know what? I believe 100% that this advice that I'm giving you is going to bring you closer to Allah, then remove yourself from that position. Because what you are doing is an injustice. If adimun nasiha means that our intentions are pure, and your intention for giving the advice you're about to give is unclear, check yourself before you open your mouth. Because what you might be about to say could be very problematic. It could be very problematic. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say? He said, make the religion easy on the people and do not what? Do not turn them away from it. So if what you are about to say is not going to bring somebody closer to Islam, then you really have nothing to say. In all honesty. Nothing. You need to be private. Someone comes to you seeking something, be private about it. So for my brothers and sisters who presume that Facebook is the best place to ask for advice on how to conduct the affairs in your household, check yourself. You have 800 friends. 90% of them may have more problems than you in your household. You go and you post that this is what is happening with you, and you have 30 responses. Each one worse than the previous one. Which one are you going to pick? How are you asking advice from strangers who are interpreting your whole life story in 10 words? Where's the wisdom in that? Where is the knowledge in that? So the matters that you have going on in your household or in your relationships, keep them private. And this goes back to, what is your intention for seeking advice? Are you putting it out there so people can say, woe is you that you have all of these problems? Or are you really trying to get some assistance? And don't worry, I'm coming to who we should seek assistance from first and foremost. Are you really trying to figure out what you should do to rectify the situation? Or are you just putting it out there so people can feel sorry for you and say, oh, Kaiser, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. You know, all of the... What? How is that helping you? And the advisor, the one who's giving advice. Do not chastise people in public. If someone comes to you and they ask you for advice, even if they ask you in a public way, do not belittle them in a public forum. Do not even belittle them in a private forum. Be very careful as to how you give the advice and what advice you are giving. Even if they said it publicly and you know that this can cause some embarrassment, take it to a private space. If you are not willing to do that, sit down. Do not take on that role. Because obviously you do not know how to perform it. Be gentle. When you are approaching someone and you're seeking advice, yes, one of the responsibilities we have on each other is to give good advice. But you cannot approach the person, or you should not approach the person from whom you're seeking advice, as though you are demanding of them that they give you the right advice at the time that you need it. Why? Because even in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, people would come to the Prophet, They would ask him questions. Did he always have the answer on the spot? No, he did not. Sometimes Allah had to make things clear for him afterwards, and then he would take it back to the people. So if that is how the Prophet functioned, how can you come to someone seeking advice and expect that they need to have the answer that you want at that point in time? A little humility goes a long way. Wrap that up with some patience and we have something going. The one who is giving the advice, you have to be gentle. What is the delil or the proof of this? Pharaoh, may Allah curse him, was a bad dude. Terrible. Musa was a prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi, peace be upon him, Musa. When Allah sent Musa to Pharaoh, what did Allah tell Musa? In Surah Taha, which is chapter 20, verse 44, by way of the translation, what does Allah say? Speak to him, meaning Pharaoh, in a mild manner, so that he might remember or fear who? Allah. So if Allah is sending Musa to Pharaoh, who was a bad man, who Allah has cursed, and Allah has told Musa to speak to Pharaoh in a mild manner, and I don't think anyone who's sitting here, or anyone in our community, is as bad as Pharaoh, how can we speak to our brothers and sisters in a harsh manner? And Allah is sending a prophet to an oppressor, and he told him to speak to him in a mild manner. The Quran is not just for decoration. It has clear advice in it for us as to how we need to live our lives. We need to know when to keep silent. Everything that comes your way is not something that you need to comment on. Sometimes someone comes and they seek you for advice, or they come seeking you for advice and they give you 10 things. You don't have to try to correct them on 10 things. Maybe just one thing you mention directs them to the right way, and then they take care of the other 9 things. Someone who is giving advice needs to be so concerned for the person that they want them to stand on their own. They want them to be able to stand before Allah and work out their problems themselves. You do not want to put yourself in a position where you become the one that they are dependent on. Because who should they be dependent on first? Allah. So if you set yourself up as the possessor of all of the answers and all of the knowledge, you need to check your intention as to why you're doing what you are doing. From whom should you seek it? Meaning the advice. You should seek it from Allah. Because what does Allah say in Al-Baqarah? When my servants ask you concerning me, then say to them, verily I am near. I answer the prayer of everyone who calls upon me. So Allah is promising that if we are lost and we call upon him, what will he do? He will answer us. Many times, before we call on Allah, we call on Twitter. Before we call on Allah, we call on our friends, who aren't really even our friends. This is a problem. Others, when you're seeking advice from someone, and I'll run down this list because I see time is already running out. When you're seeking advice from someone, what are some things that you need to be wary of? Be sure that this person is someone who depends on Allah as best as you can. As best as you can, try to know who this person is that you're seeking advice from. If this person complains more than you do, why are you talking to them? If they complain more than you do, what are you speaking to them about? All you're looking for is company to wallow in your pity. You are not going to them to seek advice. Because obviously they have more problems showing gratitude than you do. And that is the truth of it. Make sure that this person fears Allah or that they have taqwa. What does the hadith say about what taqwa is? One companion asked Umar radiallahu anhu if he knew what taqwa was. The response was, taqwa is when you're walking on a path and it has thorns on the sides, you lift up your garment so that the thorns don't snag the garment. This is taqwa. If this person you're seeking advice from isn't careful about the himmah of Allah, isn't careful about Allah's boundaries, then stay away from them. If this person is eager to violate the boundaries of Allah, then you need to stay away from them. Because the advice that they're giving you is problematic. The advice that they're giving you is very problematic. Make sure that this person is known to have a good character. Make sure that this person is known to uphold justice. That they have a soft and compassionate heart. And over the Deen Intensive, we had a whole discussion on what that looks like. Make sure that that person is trustworthy. And if you think of who the Prophet was Adam, and he was a trustworthy one. And we had a whole discussion as to what that means and why he became known as a trustworthy one. He didn't become known as that in Islam, he became known as that outside of Islam to the same pagan Arabs who despised him after he became the Prophet of Allah. This person you're seeking it from, they need to be honest, they need to be kind, they need to be forgiving. Because if this person you're seeking it from is not forgiving, how can they encourage you to forgive when that is something that Allah has encouraged us to do over and over again? And they need to be generous. If this person that you're seeking advice from has a heart condition that keeps them away from being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you shouldn't be seeking advice from them. The charge of one giving the advice, and I'll just say two things here and then we'll break for the first part. You need to treat this as an ibadah. This is not just something that you're doing. This is worship that you're performing. Treat this in service of Allah. Because if you're giving Allah's servants advice to bring them closer to Him, to help them return to the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them in, and you take that charge as seriously as that, you would be very careful with respect to the advice that you're giving people. If, however, you see it as just kalam, just words that you utter and it has no consequences, then you have no idea what dire straits you're putting someone in. Are you concerned for that person's mind, their aql, their qalb, their heart, their ruh, their nafs? Are you concerned for all of these things? Is the advice that you're giving them taking into consideration all of these things? Or is it just, well, this is what I feel like saying, so I'll say this. If you don't have a deep concern for that person and them entering Jannah based on the advice that you are giving them, then slow down on giving advice. Because the concern that you have isn't the best concern just yet. You have to be so concerned that this person will, or that this person will get closer to Allah, or may get further away from Allah when you're giving them advice, that it should give you a reason to pause and ask yourself, is what I'm about to do the best thing for this person? And if you cannot stop to ask yourself this question, then remove yourself from that position. I had a very long discussion here about what this whole thing means, about loving for the sake of Allah. Because we like to throw it around in this community. I love you for the sake of Allah. And what do we say generally as? We say it in a dismissing way. Yeah, I love you for the sake of Allah, and then you turn your back and you walk off on the brother. This is not what Imam Nawawi meant in Riyad al-Salihin when he discussed the whole book on what does it mean to love for the sake of Allah. When you love someone for the sake of Allah, you love them because they remind you of Allah, either in what they are doing or what they are staying away from. You love them with compassion. You do not love them and dismiss them. You do not say, ah, you know what, you're on the wrong path, but hey, you know what, I love you for the sake of Allah. You do not say that you love someone for the sake of Allah and you hate them in your heart. This is loving for the sake of Allah on the tongue, but our hearts have something completely different in it. This is not our Islam. So the more we want to throw around these nice, good-sounding phrases, that is all well and good. But let us at least mean it when we say it. And you must know your own status and your condition. You must know your own status and your condition. Sometimes someone comes to you to seek advice, and you offload on them all of your baggage. Every single piece of baggage that you have, that is what they inherit from you. If you know that you are broken and you are not in a position to give advice, say, ah, Ukhti, now is not a good time. Right now I am going through my own stuff. You know what? Speak to so and so. They are in a better position to give you this advice right now. Know what you are bringing to the table. Because if you don't know that, and you are offloading your junk on them, you are doing them an injustice. They are coming to you sincerely, and you are mistreating them. And if we are not seeing it as seriously as that, we need to check ourselves. Brothers and sisters, in all of these cases, we need to have a certain amount of humility, patience, and sabr. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely gives us more than we deserve, and in no way, shape, or form does He punish us the way we have earned that punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our sins, soften our hearts, increase us in gratitude, and grant us access to His Jannah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru li wa lakum, fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Brothers and sisters, at various points in time, we seek advice from those near to us and from those we see in a position to give us advice. How can we be sure that the actions that we engage in, whether we are seeking the advice or giving the advice, are actions that bring us closer to Allah? And how can we at the same time ensure that what we are saying and what we are doing is enjoining justice and patience, or enjoining us or encouraging us to enjoin each other in patience and goodness? So what do we need to do? Whether we are seeking advice or giving advice, the first thing we need to do, and this is our action plan, we need to fear Allah. Allah says in Al-Baqarah, by way of translation, Allah is the protector of those who have faith. From the depths of darkness, He would lead them forth into light. And those who reject faith are the patrons of the evil ones. From light, they will lead them forth into the depths of darkness. So the first thing we need to do is to fear Allah before we engage in seeking advice or even in giving it. We need to make dua. And here I will quote something from Facebook actually. I recently read 2 days ago. Very simple, but very profound. If you cannot say Bismillah before you say it, then don't say it. If what you're about to say, you cannot say Bismillah before it, or what you're about to do, you cannot say Bismillah before it, then most likely you shouldn't be doing it or saying it. So if you're about to eat the flesh of your brother, and you can't say Bismillah before it, then most likely you shouldn't be saying it. And if you're about to eat the flesh of your brother and you can't say Bismillah before it, then there's a bigger problem. There's a bigger problem going on. Because that means that your heart has become so encrusted that not even the fear of Allah shakes you anymore. Know what you're about. I said that earlier on. The petitioner needs to know what you want in life, what he or she wants in life, and the person who is seeking needs to know what they, and the person who is giving the advice, they need to know what they want in life. If you don't know what you stand for, or if you don't know what you stand for, then how can you advise someone who's coming to you to get some advice on where their religion is, with what they need, that spiritual connection that they need? If you have no idea as to what your connection is with Allah, what you want to be, what you want your connection with Allah to be, you have no idea as to what your goals are, then how can you give anyone meaningful advice? We need to keep in mind that if we are not in a very good position, then we need to step back and allow someone else to do it. Because maybe we are not the most qualified person at that point to do it. Things to keep in mind also. Be patient with the one who is asking the question. They are very vulnerable at that point. Sometimes you just saying one word might make them feel a certain way. Sometimes you saying one word might turn them away from something that would actually bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not rush to give advice. Do not rush to be the one who has the answers. If you find yourself rushing to do these things, stop and check yourself and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He restrains you and He holds you. Because sometimes when we push forward, it may not be in the best interest of us or ourselves. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot more that we can say on this topic. But time has run out on us. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts some concern and some worry in our hearts when it comes to seeking advice and when it comes to giving advice. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us our sins and makes us stand up for justice wherever we see it. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us, protects us, and saves us from hypocrisy. For verily, the hypocrites in the lowest part of the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His glorious Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ اللَّهُمَّ بَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ